5 are nannies and 14 have been billies.
Goat and bear hunting continues and trapping season begins this week. And introducing the newest place to watch movies in town. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Alaska's statewide salmon harvest currently ranks as the third most valuable since 1975 and will probably end up the second most valuable when it's all said and done. That's according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which put the estimated value of this year's statewide catch at $603 million in an announcement this week. That's behind the 1988 and 2010 harvest values for now, but Commercial Fisheries Division Assistant Director Jaron Bruce expects that'll change when the final numbers are all available.
We expect that once we get the final price information in from processors and buyers, and we'll get that next spring, that it'll actually become the second highest.
While harvest volume varies from area to area and species to species, prices were strong throughout the state, particularly for pink and chum salmon. In Southeast, for instance, pinks averaged 42 cents a pound and chum averaged 81 cents. Bruce looks at this year's good prices as the continuation of an upward trend over the past decade. He attributes that increasing value to several factors.
So I think that the recognition in the marketplace that Alaska's commercial salmon fisheries are sustainable, that it's a wild natural food, and I think those have been important programs, and also the collapse of the Chilean salmon farming industry due to a virus a few years ago. They're still recovering from that, played a part as well.
Southeast Alaska's combination of big harvest and high prices produced the most valuable salmon harvest for any region in 2011. The Southeast catch is estimated to be worth $203 million, nearly half of which was from a big pink salmon harvest of 59 million fish. Bristol Bay is usually the most valuable fishery in the state, but catches fell short of projections this summer, and it had the second highest value as a region at $137 million. Prince William Sound had the third most valuable catch at an estimated $101 million. Alaska's emergency alert system test that was scheduled for Wednesday at 10 a.m. has been canceled. Officials called off the EAS test due to severe weather across western Alaska. The National Weather Service predicts a storm will hit the coast with hurricane-force winds starting Tuesday evening. The National EAS test uses a special code reserved for the President of the United States in case of a national emergency. The test has never been conducted with all 50 states participating. The National EAS test will proceed in other states. Mountain goat hunting season continues with 19 goats harvested so far this season.
Of that, 5 are nannies and 14 have been billies.
Anthony Krupe is with Fish and Game and says the season is active so far, but consistent with recent years.
We manage the harvest on a sustainable yield with a point system. So essentially, for every 100 goats that we see during the aerial surveys that we conduct, we allow 6 points of harvest from that particular area.
So when that point allotment is met in different areas, those hunting spots are closed. Several areas have been closed already, including the Middle Tok Chinook Range, the east side of Taya Inlet, and the eastern shore of Chilkoot Lake and Lutak Inlet.
One area that hunters have been asking about this year is on the Chilkoot. We realigned some of the hunt boundaries to be from the northern end of Chilkoot Lake south down to Tysanga Harbor. That area just recently closed through emergency order last week after we had 3 billy goats taken out of that area.
The point system there was raised from 2 last year to 3 this year following this year's survey. However, not all of Chilkoot Lake is closed to goat hunting.
But the area that remains open along Chilkoot is, if you go north of the north end of Chilkoot Lake, there's 6 points that are available there based on the numbers that we saw during the survey.
Several other areas are still open along the water, and the Skagway Pie is still open to bow hunters.
One thing that we always encourage is for hunters to target male goats. It allows us to provide more harvest opportunity since males are worth 1 point and a female taken is worth 2 points.
Krupe says this year is going a lot like last year. In the 2010 hunt, 38 goats were taken in this area, Unit 1D. A lot of the harvest is expected to pick up this month as goats drop in elevation. Of the mountain goat hunts in this area, RG023 along the road system is open until the middle of the month. All RG024 hunts close at the end of the month, and RG026 hunts south of the highway across near Katsaheen close at the end of the year. Black and brown bear hunts are also still open, and trapping season begins for many this week on November 10th. Moose season isn't exactly over yet. There is one last step that moose hunters need to complete. Anthony Krupe is with Fish and Game.
So with the conclusion of the TMO-59 moose hunt, hunt reports are due to Fish and Game now. First reminders have gone out, and if hunters receive a second letter, they'll be included on the failure to report list, which will not allow them to hunt registration permit hunts in the following year.
At the end of the subsistence moose hunt season, hunters have 2 weeks to send in their reports. About 43 people in the region have not yet turned in their hunt report, according to Juneau Fish and Game. After November 22nd, anyone who is past due will not be able to get their moose permit next year. The 2011 season brought in 22 moose from around the hunting district known as TMO-59. That was 10 spike fork antler configurations, 3 with 3 brow tines, 6 with racks over 50 inches, and 3 illegal kills. Hunters can turn in their hunt report card to the Haines Fish and Game office at the Y intersection. Their phone number is 766-2830. The world's largest hover barge, called the Monty, was at one time destined to spend its life sailing past Haines and docking in Skagway to unload cargo bound for Asia. The air cushion barge was designed to hover about 5 feet above the surface while carrying about 450 tons of deck cargo on a clear deck of about 9,000 square feet. But you've probably never heard of the Monty. That's because the mining company that was building the mega barge declared bankruptcy in March last year and abandoned her before she was completely built. Well, this week, the barge got new owners. Brokers Marcon International announced Monday the sale of the unfinished hover barge to private buyers, who plan to eventually finish the Monty as a hover barge and commission her into their service. No further details on where she'll sail are known yet, but it was originally intended for waters like these. It was designed by Hovertrans Limited and engineered by BMT Nigel in the UK to operate year-round over shallow water, ice, and land. She's 210 feet by 83 feet, built of low-temp steel, and is equipped with hydraulic cranes, 4 deck winches, access ramps, and a moon pool for accessing the water below. Previous owners Redfern Resources, the Vancouver-based mining company that went out of business last year, wanted to use it to transport supplies in and ore concentrates out of the multi-metal mine on the Tulsaqua River in Canada, 40 miles northeast of Juneau. The mine could only be reached from Alaska via the Taku River, and the vessel would be towed by either another vessel or by amphibious tractors. From Juneau, Redfern intended to barge the ore to the Skagway ore terminal, where it would be loaded on ships bound for smelters in Asia. Check out photos and layout of the world's biggest hover barge at our website, along with this newscast. A traveling film festival makes its stop in Haines this week, turning the fairgrounds Harriet Hall into a dinner and movies night Thursday. The Wild and Scenic Film Festival is dinner and drinks in front of 10 short films on a 10 by 13 inch screen about adventure, nature, and culture.
We were trying to make it interesting to people who would be here in town, and also a variety of interests. So people who are interested in adrenaline sports, people who are interested in travel and culture, people who would be interested in like a nature aspect. We thought we had a pretty good variety. And then also things that you could show to people who are in town, but also visitors who are going to be here for the Eagle Festival. So I think there'll be something for everyone.
Jessica Edwards is with the Southeast Alaska State Fair. They're working with the Tokchinook Watershed Council to present the event and working with the Bald Eagle Foundation to offer it to visitors to this week's Eagle Festival. The film, she says, will be shown in two acts with an intermission in between. The films range in length from 3 minutes to 39 minutes.
The festival is a traveling group of films. We selected 10 of the group. It's about 2.5 hours worth of films. And they're various. They range from fly fishing in eastern Russia to couch surfing in Mongolia to whitewater kayaking in Africa, to a little quirky tale about working and falling in love in London. There's a little animated short about octopuses who escape from a chef. So they're all just kind of fun. Some of them are silly. Some of them are very sort of adrenaline. And some of them are inspirational. They're kind of about what people are doing to make the planet better.
Dinner is included. It's baked ziti pasta, salad, and dessert. Beer and wine is for sale. There'll be door prizes and popcorn, too, all amidst new additions to Harriet Hall. The building probably doesn't look or sound like it did last time you were there.
And I think one of the exciting parts about this whole festival is the timing. Right now we're renovating the hall. Still, we're getting our purchases made to kind of make it into more of a convention facility. So we're putting up all this sound acoustical panels and new carpet and tables and chairs. And we'll have a big screen for the film. So it'll be shown large and live. And so, yeah, it'll be fun. I think people will see a transformation again. We had the winterization was finished in the spring. And this is the second last phase of finishing the hall.
Tickets are $12 in advance at the bookstore, library, fair, or watershed council, or $15 at the door. Families are $40. The fair's phone number is 766-2476 for more information. The Wild and Scenic Film Festival Evening of Short Movies and Dinner is this Thursday, November 10th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Harriet Hall at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.